And 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump says he wants to close the Department of Education, and Tuesday night the layoffs begin. More than 1,300 workers, half of the workforce.
The majority of funding for schools is done at the local level, but the Department of Education provides funding for some of the poorest school districts, often in really rural parts of the country. There's a big concern right now among teachers that those students will not get funding that they're entitled to.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The Republican-supported government funding bill to keep the government from shutting down Friday passed in the House Tuesday. It now advances to the Senate. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he'll adopt a recommendation from the NTSB calling for a ban on helicopter operations near Reagan Airport. This after that deadly midair collision between a Black Hawk helicopter and a passenger plane. Billy Joel postponing several concert dates following a recent surgery and upcoming physical therapy. Joel recently falling on stage. This is ABC News. More than 2,000 New York prison guards that were fired for illegally walking off the job have been barred from being hired in other state jobs. Prison officials Monday fired officers who refused to return to work after a deal was struck between the state and the union. New features from TikTok focused on keeping kids safe.
New TikTok features allow parents to limit the amount of time their kid spends on the popular social media app. They also provide more information about who's following their child on the platform. It marks an expansion of TikTok's existing family pairing feature, which links the app on a child's smartphone to their parents. Last year, the Justice Department sued TikTok over its policies around underage users. TikTok says the new features are designed to help teens develop the digital literacy skills they need. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Hawaii's Kilauea volcano shooting fountains of lava that reach 400 feet high. It's the 13th time since December 23rd that lava's flowed from the Big Island volcano. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said, that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, witness saying he grabbed his chest, saying he might be having a heart attack. Rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Robert Redford has come out of retirement to make his first acting appearance in 6 years. The 88-year-old will appear on an episode of AMC in Dark Winds. Redford is also an executive producer, along with Game of Thrones producer George R.R. Martin. Redford will appear on episode 1 of season 3, which will air this coming Sunday night. Redford requested his scenes be shot on a closed set due to his insistence on appearing in his altogether. The show Dark Winds is set in the 1970s and follows a Navajo police unit. The show's director, Chris Ayer, says Redford's fellow executive producer, George R.R. Martin, will also have a cameo in the first episode of season three. He added that the season three executive producer cameos were part of the plan since season one. He also admitted that despite Redford being a phenomenal and supportive producer, the idea of directing the legendary actor really freaked him out. New episodes of Dark Winds drop on AMC Sunday nights. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few scattered clouds here the overnight with light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, mostly sunny skies around. Light winds will continue with highs of the upper 50s. We'll see mid-60s on Thursday. It's 30 at our studios.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, March 11th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same since Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24. That is also the same since Friday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Yep, you know it's coming down. Just as we were coming on the air, the stock market dropped another 400 points.
Gurf!
After President Trump announced this morning, again, just before we were coming on the air, that he is going to raise Canadian steel and aluminum tariffs to 50% in retaliation for Ontario imposing energy duties.
Do you know what word I've been hearing kicked around?
What's that?
Recession.
No, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump said Tuesday he's ordered his administration to raise tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum imports by an additional 25%. That brings the total to 50%. He's also repeating calls for Canada to be absorbed into the U.S. as the 51st state. I don't know a lot of Canadians.
I do.
But I've seen Canadians on various social media sites.
Yeah.
I don't sense a lot of excitement about from Canada about becoming the 51st state.
Let me speak in terms that Americans will understand, I believe. They have a very from my cold, dead hand attitude towards this whole 51st state. Also, would it be the 51st state just Canada, or we break the provinces up to states as well? That's one huge state, and I'd be afraid of Canada invoking civil war, the new North versus the South.
Ooh.
What would happen?
Ooh, yeah. See, you're looking ahead.
I am.
You're looking ahead. This seems less than ideal.
Yep.
Especially when there's an article in Reuters, the byline from Timothy Apple, Trump's tariffs create the Wild West on Wisconsin's factory floors. Again, we've talked about this many, many times. Businesses hate uncertainty.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why we're seeing what's happening with the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, what's he going to do tomorrow? What's he going to do? Again, this came out of nowhere this morning.
And that's sort of where I'm at right now. And maybe we can get an economist to explain to me, because I can't keep up with all the tariffs now. Because just from Friday to Sunday, tariffs imposed, tariff pause, 50% tariffs, 25% tariffs. I don't, like, it just seems to be anytime he gets cornered, he either says Canada is the 51st state or tariffs. He has no other mode. And honestly, you say that businesses don't like uncertainty, but there's a certainty right now, which is that Dow Jones has been crashing every day for weeks. It is below 42,000. It is almost below 41,000. If it hits 40,000, I'm not an economist, but I know that's bad.
Well, and I saw some comments this morning also. If you are in the stock market, if you have a 401k, mm-hmm. you're in the stock market. Not everyone is, obviously, yeah. but a fair amount of people are. If you are watching the stock market and these fluctuations and these recent drops,
yeah.
if they privatize Social Security, mm-hmm. this is where Social Security will be.
Yes. Or crypto.
Which is a whole nother discussion. Yep. And we are, Jamie Martinson, who is one of our colleagues here at Civic Media, has been looking for a crypto person that we can speak to who's, sorry to be less than complimentary, not living in their basement.
Not going to sell us.
And I think she found one.
Yeah.
So that will hopefully be coming in the next couple of weeks. But this, I thought the tariffs were all about stopping fentanyl from coming into the country.
Jane, I have no
idea.
Wasn't
that the original? They're stupid. The Canada and Mexico aren't doing enough about people crossing over into America and bringing fentanyl. And that's why we're going to institute these tariffs until they crack down on all those people bringing fentanyl in. And now that doesn't seem, I never hear that mentioned anymore at all.
Well, I love to have a pithy, very hilarious response, as I always do, because I'm hilarious. But I'm really at this point just left in the dust because it's about fentanyl. It's about illegal immigration. It's about keeping manufacturing in America. It's about America. And now it's just, like I said, it's just, am I in a corner? What's the Dow Jones at? Tariffs. Like, tariffs is just the quote-unquote, and they all think that there's some magical potion inside the word tariffs. Like, you split the word tariffs open, there's a magical elixir that will fix everything.
Fix everything.
And it's not doing anything because if you're going to put tariffs in, fine. Do it. Don't say you're going to do it and then the last hour be like, well, except for the big three car companies, except for certain parts of Canada, except for these companies. That's.
Well, there's carve-outs.
Yeah.
There's carve-outs if you're one of the favored companies.
Exactly.
Which doesn't seem entirely democratic.
No.
Wisconsin, going back to this Reuters article about tariffs in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is one place where a full-on trade war could be particularly painful, given its economy's close ties with Canada and the fact that it's a key political prize that has been determinative of who gets the White House. Again, Wisconsin, a very, very important swing state. Industrial America now calculating on whether or not, on how to go forward, and the numbers are not looking good. Many manufacturers, including automakers in Detroit, have rushed to Washington to ask for delays or exemptions. So doesn't that undercut the oomph of the tariff then, if you're going to give all these special carve-outs for certain industries?
Well, if I'm say, Toyota making cars in America, employing U.S. citizens to make, this is a U.S.-made car within either a European or in a Japanese name on it. If I'm from Toyota and I'm seeing that Ford and the other two are getting their carve-outs, I'm not going to be happy. And what if you're a smaller car company like Rivian, who is the direct competition to Elon Musk? This doesn't seem like, they said the 2 years of pain, we're not all going to suffer together then.
Oh, no.
So
No, we were the suffering was never going to be equal across the board. Yeah. No, never.
Yeah.
And speaking of Elon Musk and Tesla, apparently, according to President Trump, boycotting Tesla is illegal. I didn't know that.
I didn't realize
that. Well, I'm not a very stable genius, so that's obviously why I did not know
that. Well, he's been boycotting taxes for decades, so that seems illegal. I don't know. I said as a very, very, very tongue-in-cheek is I give it, by summertime, he's going to call Tesla the official car of America.
And we're going to be required to buy one.
I'll buy one with a subsidy, America. Thank you.
Wisconsin is a front line in this trade war, especially as it relates to Canada. Last year, Wisconsin reported $7.9 billion worth of goods exports to Canada. Everything from farm machines to car parts, more than shipments by Wisconsin manufacturers to Mexico, China, Germany, and Australia. So Wisconsin does a lot of business with Canada. Wisconsin also exposed at the gas pump. Trump's Canadian tariffs include 10% on energy. Wisconsin gets much of its oil and gas from Alberta, Canada, funneled into Wisconsin's sole refinery in Superior, underlining Wisconsin's northern exposure because that refinery is owned by Canadian oil and gas producer Cenovus Energy.
And if you really want to get your mind around the oil and gas problems with regard to America and Canada and just worldwide, we would suggest going to Mr. Global's YouTube page. He will be on the show at the end of the month. But yes, he is posting like crazy right now on all of the different questions that are coming up, on all the concerns, and the fact that everything coming out of the White House is bloviating and chest thumping. It's not a solution. It will not make the gas prices go down. You can't make a country that produces natural resources say, make it cheaper. They're gonna be like, no, we'll do what we want. So go to Mr. Global's YouTube page and watch his videos. He'll explain it so well.
And if you're unfamiliar with Mr. Global, his name is Matt Randolph. Mm-hmm. He does own his own small oil and gas company based in Oklahoma. Yeah. He's been in the industry for more than 30 years. You actually have to do things and be named as an expert in the oil and gas industry, yeah, which he has been.
Yeah.
It's not just like because you're the son of someone's, yeah, who owns an oil company that you get that title. No, this is an earned title. Mm-hmm. So like Greg said, Matt has his own YouTube channel. Just search for Mr. Global on YouTube. I've learned so much from him.
Yes.
And he doesn't take sides.
No.
Politically.
It may seem like it because he's not a fan of what's happening now, and people will be like, oh, he's just part of the left.
He's not.
He is a guy who is just a businessman, and he has the knowledge to tell you how this business, oil and gas, needs to be run to succeed. And I don't think part of that success is imposing tariffs on the energy production from other countries. It's not going to help us at the pump.
No, it certainly isn't.
No.
Mr. Global, by the way, Matt Randolph joining us on March 31st, mm-hmm, in a couple of weeks. So he will be here. But again, check him out on YouTube. And as I like to say when I have him on the show, he has the facts and the experience to annoy everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He annoys people on all sides,
yeah,
which I think is an undervalued trait. It's an undervalued trait. Well, anyway, yes, stock market is not looking good right now. I also saw someone claim on social media that Fox has taken off its stock market tracker because things are going so poorly. So let's just take it off and we'll pretend it's not happening.
Just babies.
That's one way to do it. Another way to do it when you're afraid of your constituents is to take calls. I don't actually want to see you face to face, but I'll take your calls.
What do they want to ask me? Oh, no, I don't want to answer that.
No. We will talk about Wisconsin, too. Wisconsin politicians who deigned to take calls from their lowly constituents. That's coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
News from the center, WRCE. Matt Nair on Air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. The Board Lord coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, if you're looking for a job.
I am.
You can't. I'm sorry, but you're trapped here with me.
No!
If you are looking for a job, you know someone who is looking for a job. Civic Media is expanding. And we would love for you to join our team.
Yes.
We got a whole bunch of openings here at Civic Media. We're looking for a news director. We're looking for a digital content producer, radio news reporter. If you've been on the beach, maybe you worked for a television station who's been making cuts, please consider checking out Civic Media. We're looking for a community manager, all kinds of things going on, producers.
Do you want to be best friends with Calvin Butenhoff?
Here's your chance. Be a technical producer.
There you go.
For example. If you would like to check this out, just go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, click on About and then Careers.
Okay.
And that will take you to our career page. Civic Media continues growing. We would love to have you grow with us. Check it out at civicmedia.com. Again, click on About and then go down to Careers. And take a look. We'd love to have you join us. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about run away. We don't want to actually face our constituents anymore because they scare us. U.S. Congressman Tony Weed. This is from Lisa Hale from Civic Media. U.S. Congressman Tony Weed answers questions at a tele-town hall. Because, again, we don't want to actually see you face-to-face because you might, you know, have questions I don't want to answer. So it's nice when people can just call in and then they can pick and choose which questions they want to respond to, right?
Yeah.
It's a little safer that way.
Yeah, you know,
a little safer that way.
You don't have to deal with tough questions and people being all mad at you.
Tom Tiffany also at this Teletown Hall event.
Tom Tiffany Teletown Hall event.
Oh, lots of tease there.
Yeah.
We have a clip from Tom Tiffany. Calvin, if you want to play that clip, please, from last night.
Medicaid was put in place to protect, you know, people with disabilities, pregnant women, children from poor families. That's who that was meant for. And now we've seen a lot of people get on it that are able-bodied adults that they can work. Do we want them getting their health care from the federal government, from you, the taxpayer? Wouldn't it be better if they had a job and they probably got their health care via their employer, rather than getting it from the taxpayer?
If there are able-bodied people who are receiving these benefits, then yes, they should be looking for work. But it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are already pretty stringent requirements in order to get Medicaid, especially financial requirements.
If you're an able-bodied person, which I mean, Tom Tiffany just throws that around. Like, I don't know what that means, honestly. Like, you're just perfect shape. But an able-bodied person, if you're on Medicaid, it means you are making far less than which is able, far less than which is able to live on. So Medicaid's available to you to buy, to have a package for health insurance. This notion is like, it's for pregnant women and disabled people and children. Like, no, it's for people who are not making enough money, who can't work enough to get good health insurance or full-time jobs. That's what I was always told. Because I tried to get Badger a long time ago. And I'm not kidding you, I made $9 over the limit. And they just flat out refused me.
Couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Who are these people then?
Yeah.
We hear this so much now from Republicans. Now we've seen a lot of people get on it that are able-bodied adults. What are their names?
Yeah.
What disabilities are they claiming?
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? Let's get some specifics instead of just, we know intuitively that people are gaming the system.
Well, I think one of the problems is that people automatically equate Medicaid with unemployed. That's not true. If you're making minimum wage in this country, if you're making $7.25 an hour, there's a chance you can qualify for your state's Medicaid program, whether it's Badger Care or whatever. So you can be an able-bodied person with a job, but your job doesn't pay you enough to or it doesn't have good quality health care. You look at Walmart. Walmart used to have a history of telling their employees to go on their state medical insurance plans because they didn't want to pay them more and they didn't want to put them on their health insurance.
Well, the Waltons are struggling, you know.
Oh, my
God. The family that owns Walmart, they are struggling.
They're like one of the lower billionaire families?
I think
they don't even have $100 billion.
How embarrassing.
Losers.
To go along, Greg, with what you just said, Cassandra on the live stream says, all you have to do is go to your local Walmart to find the able-bodied individuals that are on Medicaid. They are working, and they aren't being paid a living wage.
Yeah. I looked up how much Walmart pays their employee. The average on this search said it was $17.50. I don't know if that's true. There's a lot of Walmarts. But Cassandra is right. That is one of the chief examples that was used back in the day about Walmart is that, and it wasn't just even that we're qualifying for Medicaid. It was that they were telling the employees to take it.
To apply for it.
So don't equate Medicaid with jobless loser who's sitting in his mother's basement doing nothing. There are going to be extenuating circumstances. And it's not just like I walk in going, Medicaid, please. You got to go through paperwork and talk to people. It's not just you pull a lever and then your check comes out.
And it never stops.
Yeah.
And it never stops. Yeah, I believe that there are some checks on that. Unless, of course, they keep cutting all the positions for people who check on things like that. But that could be a problem. The other thing, and we're going to talk more about this on another show, but not every person who suffers with a disability has one that is recognizable by sight.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And there's someone on the live stream saying they can learn to code. There's nothing wrong with suggesting new avenues of jobs. And yes, people can get new jobs and people can try new careers, but that doesn't also mean it's going to pay great. I'm sorry to tell you, but there is an influx of coding now. Everyone wants to learn to code, and that doesn't mean you're going to get those $100,000 jobs anymore.
And don't you have to pay to learn how to code?
Yeah, you have to go to school to learn how to do
and that.
And that
costs money.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you do bootstraps, YouTube University, and then you start your own company.
We have news coming up next when we return. Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show will be here. By the way, Andrew from Maine asking, can I get hired as a listener? You got it, Andrew. You are now working for Civic Media as an official listener. There's no salary or anything. It's just, you know, it's an honorarium.
A hearty thanks is your pay.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump says he wants to close the Department of Education, and Tuesday night, the layoffs began.
More than 1,300 workers, half of the workforce.
The majority of funding for schools is done at the local level, but the Department of Education provides funding for some of the poorest school districts, often in really rural parts of the country. There's a big concern right now among teachers that those students will not get funding that they're entitled to.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The Republican-supported government funding bill to keep the government from shutting down Friday passed in the House Tuesday. It now advances to the Senate. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he'll adopt a recommendation from the NTSB calling for a ban on helicopter operations near Reagan Airport. This after that deadly mid-air collision between a Black Hawk helicopter and a passenger plane. Billy Joel postponing several concert dates following a recent surgery and upcoming physical therapy. Joel recently falling on stage. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said, that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, witnessing he grabbed his chest, saying he might be having a heart attack, rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Duchess of Sussex, also known as Meghan Markle, has taken a lot of verbal and tabloid abuse for her show, I Really Wish I Was Martha Stewart, a.k.a. With Love, Meghan. Critics don't like it, and according to Rotten Tomatoes, only 20% of audiences like it. Having said that, the show has been renewed for season two, and according to the New York Post, the crew absolutely loves her and said she treats everyone wonderfully. Why wouldn't she? She's a duchess with a horrible hit TV show. I can't think of anyone luckier. Mr. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Colin Jost, was roasted on Saturday Night Live during Weekend Update by Lady Gaga's fictional husband, Lord Gaga, played by Mikey Day, who went on and on about how horrible it must be to live with a woman who makes so much more money than her husband. According to the Post, Colin Jost muscles through life with a net worth of just $10 million, and his wife Scarlett Johansson is worth $165 million. Somehow, they managed to make it work. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a few scattered clouds here the overnight with light winds, temperatures dropping to the lower 30s. On your Wednesday, mostly sunny skies around. Light winds will continue with highs of the upper 50s. We'll see mid-60s on Thursday. Right now, it's 31.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream where chair dancing can break out at any possible moment. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we are delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the aptly named Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 across the network. And you're going to be part of our special coverage tomorrow night, correct, Todd?
Wait, I am. Let me check out. Oh,
I heard your name mentioned. I'm fairly certain.
That's how things work around here. What are you doing next few hours?
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I know I am. Yeah.
It's you and Dan. You and Dan Schaefer and Pat Kreitlow.
It's a happy threesome on the air tomorrow night from the Overture Center. It'll be fantastic, a political extravaganza not to be missed by anybody. It's being held in the Overture Center in the same theater where they did Shucked, the musical, when it was in town. So I'm not sure if there's any meaning to that, but it should be a lot of fun.
And this is all to lead up to the debate between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel on Wednesday night, correct?
Yes, our friends at Up North News Radio, of course, hosted by our very own Pat Kreitlow, in conjunction with Courier News Service, are putting together this forum to talk about democracy and the Supreme Court race, and focus a little bit on education with the DPI race coming up on the 1st of April as well. And it was already fantastic, and then they said it's too fantastic. Let's bring it down a notch, so let's ask Todd to be involved. And so I said, sure, I'll come on over and be a part of that. But it should be great because Civic Media has agreed to air it in its entirety, and so we'll air it here on the broadcast network. And Dan Schaefer, as always, he's fantastic. Of course, our political editor and co-founder of the founder of the Recombobulation Area. So it'll be great. I think it'll be informative, and I hope it's just kind of a conversational panel discussion where we bring people of Wisconsin some real views and maybe even a couple of solutions to work on.
Wonderful. Check it out tomorrow night. That is from 7 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of things, Todd, we wanted to kick around with you, including the fact that Rebecca Cook announced this morning that she will be running once again against Derek Van Bully in Wisconsin's western side. She's got a good chance, I think. I would like to think, anyway.
You'd like to think. As soon as you... In fact, here's what's going on. I had a couple of things to do. I had my phone turned down. I missed Jane's first message, and she said we were going to talk about something else. And then she said, actually, I think we're going to talk about Rebecca Cook. And my first reaction was, why? And I thought, so then I Googled it, and I'm like, oh, I guess she's running. I had no idea until Jane told me this morning.
See what you learn. Todd, huh?
Breaking news on Civic Media and Todd's phone.
Democrat Rebecca Cook launches bid to unseat Derek Van Orden in Wisconsin's battleground seat. Now, you did a lot of traveling. You live in, or you're from Richland Center, and I know you go home quite a bit. And the last time around when Rebecca was running against, it was Katrina Shankland and Rebecca Cook and Derek Van Orden. And you saw a lot of support for Rebecca Cook, you said, in parts of western Wisconsin.
Yeah, and let me, right up front, let me make clear. Derek Van Orden, in my opinion, has no business, or if we say back at Richland Center, no business, being a United States congressman. Remember, this is the guy who was detained by TSA for trying to get a gun on a plane in Iowa.
Loaded gun.
He verbally abused a teenager in his adopted hometown of Prairie du Chien at a library because he was ticked off because there were LGBTQ books on display. He verbally abused and assaulted teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol while he was inebriated. And it's important to remember he doesn't deny any of the things I just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's in addition to, in my opinion, abdicating his elected responsibility and running off to Israel to play soldier over there.
That's right.
Look, I mean, I know the guy is, a former Navy SEAL, or at least that's what he claims. And if he really did that, then hats off to him. But I don't think just because you did one good thing in your life that washes away all the current things or more recent things that you've done. So, I mean, that's number one. Number two, to your point, Jane, There was a very divisive Democratic primary last time around between Katrina Shanklin, which was the darling of the Madison Capitol mainstream Democratic Party, Mark Pocan, who I think a lot of a congressman from down here, he is friends with Shanklin, and they thought they had it in the bag. Meanwhile, Cook ran a very grassroots campaign. She had run the time before, came in second to Brad Path, the state senator from La Crosse. And she ran a great primary campaign, quite frankly, a better one than Shanklin. I like both of them. I think they both would have been great candidates, but Cook ran the better primary. The Democratic Party, in my opinion, never coalesced around Cook after that because there were a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of hard feelings there. And give Cook credit in the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which I looked up after Jane told me this morning. It was Cook doing better in Western Wisconsin than either Harris or Baldwin, by the way.
Interesting.
And so as Cook only lost by 2.7% or whatever. So give her a lot of credit for that. What I hear from, and look, I left the Republican Party in 2011. I'm not a Democrat, but I keep in touch with people there, spend time there. What I hear from local Democratic parties, Richland County, other places, is that the Cook campaign, and we saw this last time around, they're very insular. She brought a big name guy in from Texas to run her campaign last time and did really great, but they tend not to reach out and work with local county Democratic parties. Mm-hmm. And that creates hard feelings. I know that we tried to get Cook on civic media and they just said, hands off. We're not going there because they didn't want to be viewed as quote unquote too liberal. She runs this very, hey, I'm for everybody mainstream campaign. I put on flannel and I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this or not. She's just a waitress. And she likes to look, I lost twice for state assembly in Western and Southwest Wisconsin. I've run state Senate campaigns and won state assembly campaigns and won, and I've run losing congressional campaigns in the third district. I know what it takes to run a congressional campaign in the third district. You ain't going to do that by being a waitress. So either she has family money and that's great if she does, but just say that. Or she relies on these big donors from other places, the Blue Dog Democrats and other places, to do the campaign. Again, that's fine. Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know, we saw Bernie Sanders come in. I know you guys covered it yesterday. Yep. I played some of the cuts from Altoona. Here, I mean, just a couple of things. You guys know this. What people told Bernie Sanders in Western Wisconsin mattered to them. Heat, meals, paying bills. Do I get shoes for my kids or boots for myself? Eyeglasses for my kids or eyeglasses for myself. Those are the things that people in Western Wisconsin are talking about. So I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here are a couple of things that I would do if I was advising Rebecca Cook, and I'm not. Number one, hire a PI to find out Derek Van Orten's actual military record. Why is it that nobody that he ever served with stands behind him and endorses him? Did he really get an honorable discharge? While you're doing that, make a group of veterans, everything from the Korean War to the Afghanistan War, that call Derek Van Orten out on his military record as an abomination. Two, talk to Dairyland Power, the largest power supplier in Western Wisconsin, along with rural electric cooperatives, and have them talk about what these tariffs in Canada are going to do to local energy costs in Western Wisconsin. And finally, find a local action or local law enforcement retired or current, at least a couple, that call him out on this January 6th stuff.
Yep.
Those are the things where you could have dividing factors in Western Wisconsin. Big ag going after quote-unquote big ag and abortion rights, that ain't going to cut it, in my opinion.
It's almost too amorphous. It's not immediate enough, as you said. People are talking about much more immediate concerns and immediate needs. And I also wonder, too, Todd, the danger of trying to be this moderate where I can get along with everybody. Well, can you? And going back to the whole money thing, I wish they would all, every single politician on both sides, just admit, yes, we take a whole bunch of money from people who don't live here.
Right.
Can we all just admit that and get it out there? We all know that anyway.
In a perfect world, it'd be great if we had campaign funding limits on public money. We don't. That's not going to change in the next 2 or 3 years. So your point is exactly right, Jane, in my opinion.
Todd, you brought up the January 6th thing, which a lot of times we throw it around as like, and it was also a January 6th. But I think when you look at the number of people in this country who are unhappy that the current president just blanket pardoned all of these people out of prison, the fact that we didn't like that. And the fact that Derek Van Orn was at that event, at that insurrection event, it needs to be talked about more. It gets swept under the carpet so much. And for a guy who claims to be a proud vet, the fact that he went to the Capitol to try to upend our constitutional process and our voting, that is also something I feel like Rebecca Cook should be talking about regularly. And I was going to say, I said to Jane, I have some thoughts on what Rebecca should, because I've also run campaigns as well. But you said them all. And it's also about, I think that she can be not moderate, but she can speak to the voice of all Wisconsinites. Because what we heard from the Marquette University poll last week is that a majority of Wisconsinites are on the same page when it comes to things like gun control, gun safety laws, comes to abortion, comes to marijuana legalization, comes to affordability for childcare and things like that. We all come together in that. I think that Rebecca Cook can represent that will of Wisconsin and take it in a race against Derek Van Orn.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's weird to use Tim Walz's word that Derek Van Orn was at January 6th. I think that's less of an election issue than the fact that he supports Donald Trump pardoning all the people of January 6th who attacked law enforcement. That's the 77%er that people in America disagree with. So run on that. Forget about his personal, whether he was there or not. And look, I'm fine with legalization of marijuana. That ain't an issue. It's in my opinion.
It doesn't resonate.
Well, run on the things that people in Western Wisconsin that told Bernie, those household issues. The fact that we are people in Western Wisconsin, Jane, you and I saw this on Flag Day in Amory. They are patriotic. They love our country. Doesn't matter who you voted for at the top of the ticket. I bet you most of those people in Amory at Flag Day are not going to support Donald Trump and Derek Van Orn pardoning January 6th insurrectionists who attacked law enforcement.
But I think there is a certain segment who have and don't find that problematic.
Correct. There's 33% who exactly what you just said. They don't care. But there is another middle part there that those Evers Johnson voters, those Trump Baldwin voters, those folks do care about those things, in my opinion.
And I also wish that character still mattered. Because again, when we look some
of that be nice.
When we look at some of the past behavior of Derek Van Orn, he loves picking on people who are younger and weaker and smaller than he is. He really does. He's great and a big man when it comes to picking on a teenage librarian. He's all tough guy then, but when it comes to, I don't know, actually facing his constituents and answering questions, whoosh, where is he? He's the invisible man, unless you have $40 you want to shell out for this Saturday.
In Richland Center.
He's going to be there.
I ran several Richland County Lincoln Day dinners, and the big debate when I was doing it is, should the tickets go above $19.99 in cost? And now they're $40 a piece. I don't know too many people in Richland County who are going to pay out $40 a piece. And look, if people want to go and voice their concern in their First Amendment right, that's great. The only thing I ask, stay on the sidewalk. The people that are hosting this at the Phoenix Center, they have hosted the Patriotic Millionaires as well as Republican events. They are not partisan. They do a great business. They have a great staff and great food. This ain't their problem. Mm-hmm. They're opening their facility up to anybody who rents it out. So if you're going to go, stay on the sidewalk. Don't block the driveway. Don't try to get in. Just, you know, be a peaceful demonstrator.
Or buy a ticket and have a nice, I'm sure it's going to be a great dinner for your $40.
I'll guarantee you they are screening people and will probably have law enforcement at the door.
To screen out those those undesirables.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's going to be a tele-dinner.
At the end of the day, it's not a public event. It's a private event by the Richland County Republicans.
Well, if you are one of his constituents, this is your chance to actually, I don't know, see his face in person.
To see him.
It's like Sasquatch. We know he exists. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Alba. From the Todd Alba Show, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, empathy is bad. Co-president Elon Musk announced that that's one of the big flaws in Western civilization is being empathetic. So we're going to talk about why empathy is bad.
Missed it by that much.
Yes, so close. Next hour. And then after 11:30, when we like to try and lighten things up a little bit, we call 11:30 to 12 our audio sorbet segment. It's kind of an audio cleansing breath, as it were. Concerts. What is the most you have ever paid for a concert ticket? I'm really curious. Yep. Yeah. So we're going to kick that around after 11:30, and then we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Wild and Woolly edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now we're joined by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the aptly named Todd Alba program from noon to two here across the network. In the remaining time that we have, Todd, I want to talk a little bit about Governor Evers has come out with some of his budget proposals. His capital budget calls for $4.1 billion in building projects. And again, it always seems to me like Tony Evers overreaches by 500 miles.
500 miles, 500 miles.
I mean, and Greg has pointed, has said before that, you know, it's like when you're in a negotiation.
It's a Peter Paul and Mary song, but go ahead.
When you're in a negotiation, you start way high and then you expect to, you know, do some dealing right, and then come back to a more reasonable level. But $4.1 billion sounds like an awful lot of money.
I haven't gone through every detail of it. Yes, I think to your point, Jane, to the average Wisconsinite, they're going, what? Again, Kreitlow picks on me for this. Really, I'm not trying to be a jerk to Tony Evers. I think he's the last line of defense. He's the only thing preventing Wisconsin from being a Texas or Florida version of insanity.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Right. So I'm very thankful for Tony Evers in many ways. I just think he has a very poor communication program or department around him, and the people around him are poor communicators. And I think it would have been much better whether it was Jim Doyle or Tommy Thompson, you know what you do? You get the old GMC state automobile with a state trooper out in front of you so you don't have to follow the speed limit. And you go around Wisconsin and you go to Amory. And you talk about why we need to improve the facilities at UW-Barron in Rice Lake. And then you go to Milwaukee and you say, here's why we need to add a new facility for healthcare at UW-Milwaukee because they're turning out all kinds of nurses and health professionals. And you build a narrative, as my friend Trigvi Olson likes to say.
Right.
And you build a case. And then you say, and now here's how much it's going to cost, and here's the plan, and here's why I'm asking this, after you've built up support in all these communities around Wisconsin, rather than just saying, well, I need this.
Well, and
it's poor communication.
I don't disagree with you, and I don't think anyone is disputing that a lot of this stuff has been the can has been kicked down the road for years, decades and decades and decades, and both sides have done it, especially when we're talking about deferred maintenance costs for a lot of public buildings. Both sides are responsible for this mess that we're in when now we have this building needs $1 billion worth of repairs and we're going to have to tear it down. But I think you make a really good point, Todd, in going to the places, looking at the issue right there, and then saying, and now here is the fix for this. Mm-hmm.
Right. Again, it's about building a narrative and building support. And that, to me, is one of the best ways to cut through partisan politics and roadblocks. Because, I mean, you've seen it, Jane. You've been to Richland Center with me where they closed down our two-year campus there. And when they were trying to save it, they had signs that said, save our campus in blue and white, the college colors. And they were in the yards of people who normally had Trump yard signs. And the people who had Obama and Harris signs, it cut through. It didn't matter. So that's why I say you go and build a narrative. And, you know, if it's in Southwest Wisconsin, then those folks who vote and give money to Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and Tony Kurtz, who sits in the Joint Finance Committee, both Republicans. And they say, look, boys, we need this. You need to get behind Evers and get this done. That's how you build coalitions. You shouldn't allow, it's not productive to say, well, we're only going to deal with people who voted for us.
Yeah.
That's just not how it's done.
No.
And there are too many people around Governor Evers who have a hair up their rear end that if you ever supported a Republican or you're a Republican, they don't want to do business with you. You're never going to get your stuff done that way.
And purity tests are a great way to fail.
Yes. And we see that, of course, on the Republican side all the time.
Yes.
So, I mean, two rights don't make a wrong. You have to be the better person. You have to be the leader of Wisconsin and say, this is how we're going to do it.
I just think it comes down to the only, I don't mean to be the fly in the ointment, is just that we see lawmakers in Madison coming together and agreeing on things, agreeing on, you know, monies for programs, and then being stopped in Joint Finance or being stopped by Robin Voss. I think it also comes down to whether it's Republicans or Democrats, and Republicans together have to stand up and say, we need better leadership at the top so we can get these things done to get the money to the people who need it the most and save these programs around the state.
Join Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network and check him out along with Dan Schaefer and Pat Kreitlow tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. Thank you so much, my friend. Really appreciate it. We need another road trip.
Guys,
we're going to have to talk about
you're
that.
You're great, Todd.
Let's do it.
Stay tuned.
To the
news.
Casino.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump's 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum from Canada went into effect at midnight Eastern Time. He had, for a time, said he would impose a tariff of 50%. But after Ontario threatened surcharges on electricity in response, Trump reversed course. President Trump has promised to dissolve the Education Department. Over 1,300 employees laid off Tuesday evening. A source telling ABC News that most of those let go were from the offices for civil rights and federal student aid. One of the questions ABC's Mary Alice Parks is hearing.
What happens to Pell Grant recipients, and what about school lunches? There's, of course, always a concern that some of these impacts will be felt by, the poorest and most vulnerable Americans first.
It passed the House, but a spending bill to avert a government shutdown is facing uncertainty in the Senate. 60 votes are required for passage in the Senate, so the bill needs support of at least 8 Democrats to make it to Mr. Trump's desk. This is ABC News. Suddenly, Americans are feeling pessimistic about the economy, according to the airlines.
Delta.